Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's a beautiful day today. I'm thinking back on a couple of days ago, walking around the garden, and lo and behold, between the leaves, just sticking over the mulch, I started to see all the growth of tulips. So why is that important to me? That's my wife's favorite flower. And very interesting, at the end of January, maybe we'll have some snow again, and they have to be protected, but certainly nice to see some little bit of growth, just there, you could say, their eyes or their fingers poking out of the ground. So, brethren, as we begin with this message, just thinking about the access that you and I have. Think about in this society that we have in the Western world, I could walk around my house and I would say I had access to a garden. But many of us, we would say, I have access to certain services in your community. Just thinking about running water. We have pure water coming out. Maybe you go to your kitchen and you are thirsty. Then you just put in your glass and your glass in the faucet and you get some pure water, and maybe you get some ice as well. When I was younger, I think about when you were thirsty, maybe got up early in the morning and you were thirsty, you just ran to the restroom and you could open the faucet and just drink with your hands pure fresh water. So we had access to water. I know that many of our brethren across the globe in certain parts of the world may not have access to pure water, but most of us, we do have. Think about access to other services, just to the services that you have, thinking about your trash. Once a week, they remove your trash. You put out your trash at a certain day, and the next morning, you just take your bin back into the garage. We have access to certain privileges and services, benefits that we receive. Maybe you like reading, and again, I know a couple of ladies in my household that loves reading, and having access to a library, just driving down the road and you can go and you can get your favorite book. Just thinking back again, comparing where we are from a third world. I remember when I grew up, you went to the library and the maximum books that they gave you to take out or get from the library was 6. So that was the maximum. I think you had to keep it for 2 weeks before you could return it. When we got here, got to the library, got a library card, and they said the books are unlimited. How does that work? So the little girl went to the library, and she had access to the amount of books. And my wife and I, we carried sometimes baskets full of books out of the library just to satisfy that need. But we had access to certain services. Brethren, do you know that you and I, as Christians, we have access, the greatest access there is? If you think about access, again, we all have access to the internet. One way or another, these days when you fly, you just look at the top of the ceiling of the flight of the aeroplane, and the flight attendant will tell you have access to Wi-Fi, you have access to the internet. But you and I, as Christians, we have the greatest access on anything that you can think about. You and I have free access. Brethren, we have free access to God. Let's turn to a verse here this afternoon as we begin to build and get to what we're going to specifically talk about, just oiling your mind a little bit about the access that we have in our environment, in our community, in our lives, but also the privilege, the access that you and I have as Christians. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, and we will pick up simply in verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, everyone, and verse 19. We're going to stay in Hebrews for a couple of verses throughout the message, so that's something where you can keep a bookmark. But we are actually jumping into a chapter or a verse that gave you more context as you go through chapter 9, the whole chapter and also chapter 10, and we are basically or roughly around halfway through chapter 10 when we get to verse 19, and we read, having therefore means what happened and what was read and understood in the beginning of chapter 10, but it says brethren. That means that is a message for you and me that we have to prick our ears and say, I have to listen because I see myself as brethren, as a Christian. This is instruction for you and me. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. This verse is packed full of meaning, and we will go and see a little bit later on the context of this verse, but boldness. When you think about boldness, what do you think that means? Here the word boldness means liberty, or it means access. You and I have free access, having therefore, brethren, boldness or access to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. Think about that for just a moment. What are we actually reading when we think about having access? Brethren, today we're going to look at the importance of going to God in prayer with boldness and what boldness leads to. What are the effects of boldness? What it leads to? Why is boldness important, and what are the effects? When you and I come, it says with boldness, and we understand now a little bit more that it means access. What does it mean? This verse is jam-packed, as I mentioned, with meaning. So let's look at verse 20. And I'm going to read verse 20, and then I'm going to take you back in your mind. We're going to do some time traveling, and I'm going to take you back, not physically back, just in your mind, everyone, as we go back to ancient Israel. But let's read verse 21st. By a new and living way. New means a fresh way, a living way. You and I are living a new way. There was an old way, how Israel served God. But you and I, through a new and a living, a fresh way, a living way, live God's way of life, which has been consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, Christ's flesh. So let's paint a little bit of a picture and take you back into ancient Israel. Let's take ourselves back, and you stand right in the middle of the nation, so to speak. In the middle, in the center of the nation, you had the tabernacle. All the tents of the camp was around and built around the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle had a structure. You couldn't see into the tabernacle. You know, during the days of atonement, once a year, the high priest went into the first chamber of the tabernacle, and then he went through the veil. Remember the word veil, and he went into the holiest. But you and I stand there, let's say we stand around the tabernacle and we are looking at it. It had bronze posts, and it had curtains right around the fence, or the wall of the tabernacle was curtains, linen curtains. So you couldn't really see what was going on in the tabernacle. Now, imagine if you are standing there and you want to see what's going on, and you jump a little bit and you just see over the curtain a little bit, and you can see what you are curious. What is going on? And we are talking to each other. Can you climb on my back and I can show you what's going on in the tabernacle or in the courtyard of the tabernacle? We are all curious. You are one of the members of the nation, and you are standing there wondering what is really happening here. Our whole camp is built around this tabernacle. Now, some of us might be a little bit smarter. Instead of trying to jump over and see what's happening over the fence, you might lift the curtain up and look underneath it. Some of us are much smarter, or maybe not able to jump as high to see over the curtains. And then you would see just a priest come by. What are you doing? And you close the curtain again. But we could make fun. We can have a little bit of fun, brethren. Picture in our mind this story of being at the tabernacle. Now, if you had a good peek, you would have seen the altar. You would have seen the altar where they make and made the animal sacrifices. So just three things that I wanted you, as we think about this verse, brethren, as we jump through some of the verses in chapter 9 and 10, think about the altar and the priest, the high priest that could only go into the holy place, and then through the veil, he had to climb underneath the veil into the holiest place once a year to get to the Ark of the Covenant. And the lid of the Ark of the Covenant was pure gold, and it was called the mercy seat. Now let's, as we think about that in your mind, having that story in your mind, that picture in your mind, everyone, the entrance of the tabernacle was on the east side. So if they would have opened the entrance, you could have walked through and see the altar, and then you could go into, nobody had access to it, then you would see the holiest, and then the veil with the Ark of the Covenant. But let's go to and read verse chapter 10. You are on chapter 10, verse 19. Let's go to the start of the chapter. Just getting a little bit of a thinking that we said, why is it important to come to God with boldness? He said, we have access with boldness to the throne of God. Let's go and read verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. Now we are thinking back to the nation of Israel, the shadow of good things to come, the tabernacle that they had access to, or later on the temple that they had access to. And not the very image of the things can never with these sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make comers there unto perfect. They could only come year by year, once a year, come to a place that was actually a shadow of something that would come later. Verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sin. So they had to come for their sins, come year by year for the offerings by the priests. Now let's jump to once a year. Just remember in your mind, once a year, everyone. Then you go to chapter 9, and we will read verse 11. We are jumping around, giving us a little bit of context. But Christ, thinking about what we read in verse 19, the access, the boldness, the access that you and I have, everyone, it says, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. So we are not speaking about a physical tabernacle. Christ came to a different tabernacle, a spiritual tabernacle, not made with hands. There it is. That is to say, not of this building. So if you and I were standing right there in Israel and we are looking at each other and we would read this verse, we would think about, this is the tabernacle where we have access to God once a year. But someone else would come, Christ would come and give us a different type of access from at a different type of building, so to speak. Verse 12, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So each year they had to go in over and over, but once a year Christ went into. His sacrifice was just once. And that sacrifice gave us access, brethren, every day. The Israelites did not have access to God the way that you and I have access. Christ went in once, and now you and I have access to God each and every day. Actually, each and every moment that you think about. Place yourself in a situation where you are at school, thinking about the children going to school. It's winter now, and you walk through the snow uphill, and you slide a little bit. This week, I stopped at the mailing building and got some mail early in the morning, and I climbed out of my car and I started to slide a little bit and realized there's black ice on the tarmac. But I saw another man coming and sliding very quickly, just almost as if he had ice skates on, going from one point. And I thought, wow, I hoped I was as good as ice skating as he did, because I was very, very cautious not to fall, but he just went about and did his thing. So think about the children going to school, and you climb on your bus and you feel that heater down on your feet. I remember our children during winter, now it's blowing warm heat, and you have a test that morning, and you lie your head on the cold window of the bus. Your mom and dad is not there. Your parents, your teacher is not going to help you. What do you have access to at that moment as teens, as young people? You can pray. You have access right there to God, where you can pray and ask for help during your test. That's a type of access no one ever had before in history. Teens have that access to God through that sacrifice that Christ went in once, just once, and he opened that door for us to do it each and every day. And that, brethren, that begins to paint the picture in our mind to how important this access that you and I have is. Let's read verse 23 of the same chapter. We were at verse 12, and let's go to verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places. He didn't went into the holy place of the tabernacle. He didn't went into the holiest of the temple. He went into the throne room of God in heaven. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with man, which are the figures of the true. You and I standing there with those in Israel in that picture, in that story that we painted, that is just a physical representation of what you and I have access to actually today. It was just a figure of what is true. It was physical. We cannot see the temple today. We don't have to go to the tabernacle today. You can be on your lawnmower. Now you think about, why am I speaking about lawnmowers? We have brethren in other parts of the world that's in the southern hemisphere, and they are most likely in summer now, and they will think about maybe riding or pushing their lawnmower and just thinking about the day ahead, the challenges that they have. Now imagine you had to go to Jerusalem to go to the temple if you wanted to have access to God. Now you can be behind your lawnmower and pray. Talk to God. Have access to Him each and every moment of the day. That is an access, brethren, that go far beyond the access to any pure water or sanitation or services, governmental services, or a library, or the internet access that we so much enjoy today. You and I, as God's people, have a special access made possible by Christ's sacrifice each and every day. He went in only once. He sat down at the right hand of God. Let's go to chapter 12. We are still there. You see, as we read, and you can for your own studies go through chapter 9 and 10, and that will bring us, as I mentioned, to verse 19 of chapter 10. But let's read verse 12. It says, but this man, speaking about Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. So Christ is sitting on the right hand of God when you and I pray, with that access that we have each and every day. He's on the Father's right hand, interceding for us. But we have open access. Imagine, brethren, you and I standing there in Israel, looking at the tabernacle, and the priests will open up the eastern curtain, so to speak, the gate. They would open it up. You could pass the altar. You could go in. The veil opened up. And they would say, you can freely enter. How many people would have done that? You and I, again, not the physical representation, but we have access today. That path is open. If you go to the altar, you and I, we have in our hands the contract that Christ, that we signed with Christ's blood at baptism. That was Christ's blood that he sacrificed himself once. The veil, again, the veil is open. We have understanding. We just read in verse 20 that the veil is gone through Christ's sacrifice. Now we have access to the mercy seat of God each and every day. It doesn't matter where you are. Imagine yourself walking across the road to a grocery store, to your favorite grocery store, and there's maybe a situation where you have to pray in a moment. You and I have access that we can enter through God's throne room, in his throne room at that moment, and that, brethren, increases you and I, our boldness, doesn't it? When you think about the importance of being bold, that access that we have, that the more you use it, the bolder you and I will become. That's the importance, to run to God, to use the access that he has given us, because it's open today. Nobody else, even in this world, have that access. You and I have it each and every day, and I hammer it over and over. This simple point, brethren, that we take time, he created the new and the living way that you and I have access freely to God. Let's go to chapter 4. You've seen Christ on the right hand of God, looking a little bit more on what he is doing right now and thinking about the importance of you and I coming, using the access that we have with boldness. Seeing therefore verse 14, chapter 4 of Hebrews, everyone. Verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, think back on verse chapter 9 or chapter 10 verse 19. Let us therefore come boldly. Brethren, God wants you and me to come boldly using the access that we have. It doesn't matter if you're young, if you've been baptized in God's way for many, many decades. He says the instruction to us as Christian is to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Now, often we think about, we just need to come to God when there's a time of need. That verse actually say you and I should come boldly at all times, and when there is a need, God will give us grace and he will give us mercy. He will look at your attitude, how you come to him each and every day in the smallest matters on the biggest matters with boldness, because you and I, brethren, have that access. We have access to his throne room. We have access to all that he offers. But we said, brethren, that that is the one part of the message that we're going to talk about, one of the things that is important. And I want to make just a summary statement at this point, putting everything together here almost in the middle of the message. What we talked about now is, if you can turn with me, everyone, just turn to Ephesians. Ephesians 3. That tabernacle is nowhere to be found on earth. The temple is, we know that there will be a temple, physical temple, built again. But Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, again speaking about Christ, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Brethren, our boldness to go to God, that open access that we have, is based on faith. We don't see that tabernacle today. We don't see the holiest. We have to believe God's word. We have to believe that Jesus Christ is on the right hand of God interceding for us. And it doesn't matter where you are, you must know and realize each and every day when you have a need or not, when you go to Him, that door stands open, so to speak, 24/7. When I was younger and we had people coming over to the United States, friends, and they said there are shops that are open for 24/7. Wow. Our television, when I was young, South Africa received television in 1976. And if I give away my age, that's the year that I was born. And ultimately, the television started around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And by 12 o'clock at night, it finished. You could see the country's flag waving, and then they would sing the anthem, and then everything wrapped up for the day. What about shops? You wouldn't ever think about a shop being open 24/7. But brethren, you and I have access to God 24/7 when you wake up early in the morning, when you have to go to work, thinking about having boldness, going to God at any time that you can use the access that we have. This verse says the boldness and access. So the access that we have, bold the faith that you and I have. It's founded on our boldness. Using that open door is based on faith. But brethren, that is not enough. That's why we said we're going to talk about the importance of going to God's throne with boldness. But it has to do more. There's more involved. We have to do more. There's more to the story, so to speak. Let's turn again to chapter 10 of Hebrews. Action is required, brethren. It leads, boldness leads to something. If you and I go, it's good for us to go with the needs that we have. We can ask God anything that we want. Here that he says, and around Passover, we read the verses that says, you can come, if you obey me and you are righteous, brethren, God says, you can ask him anything. We can come with our needs. But we are going to look at what it's leading to, the boldness that we have, a little bit more. There's more to the story, so to speak. There's more involved. Let's go to chapter 10 again. Just reference, we read verse 19. Verse 20, and I will pick up here in verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Again, there's that assurance, that boldness that's based on faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Christ, wash us clean, our conscience clean, and God's word, each and every day as we study, it wash us pure, our bodies pure. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith. So this is beginning to build our faith as we come with boldness to God's throne without wavering. We shouldn't come wavering to God's throne. Doesn't matter in what situation you are. Sometimes you feel a little bit, I'm wavering. But God says, no, at any time you have to have that attitude of being bold. Without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And now let's read verse 24, and it looks like this verse is out of context, because we talked about coming to God, coming in boldness, and it says, let us consider one another. This is something different. So when you go to God, we just read from verse 19 onwards, when you come to his throne, with access, yes, we bring our needs before him, but he says, let's consider one another. If you are sitting in this room or in a congregation around the globe and you look around, God says, let's think about each other when we come in prayer. To do what? Think about each other to provoke unto love and to good works. Brethren, your boldness, the access that you have, the boldness that you come before God with, is not just for ourselves. It has to go further. Your boldness, in whatever circumstance you pray to God, can provoke others unto love and to good works. So we could say that boldness is based on faith, but what motivates you and me to use that access that we have? What is it that motivates you to get up in the morning and to pray? What motivates you and me to pray when you are in a difficult circumstance? Yes, the circumstance that you have as well, but what is it really that motivates you and me? And that is, brethren, outgoing concern for others, for each other, and for the world at large. And we will see for the rest of the message that your prayers with boldness coming before God can provoke Him, it can provoke you, and it can provoke other people as well. And as we look at the word provoke, many times it's used in a negative sense. It means the outburst of energy, of emotion. If you cry out, or it can mean action. So your boldness that we read from verse 19, coming before God, can, your prayers can let the person next to you act. Things that they are going through can change. If you pray for them, they can begin to act. That can provoke them. Now, many times we can go to God with energy, meaning outburst of emotion. If you know what somebody is going through, you can lie down on your knees and burst out in emotion before God. You have that free access to do that. So this is not a negative provoke. This is a positive provoke. It's not like you're walking into a bar and there's a man that had a little bit too much to drink, and you say, "I'm sober, I'm going to provoke this man," and you push him around, and very soon you will be sorry for what you've done. And that's not the provoke that we are talking about. This is a positive provoke unto love and unto good works. So let's look at, and we can basically sum this up, brethren, just here making the connection with what we talked in the beginning to now, that access to God leads to action. The access that we have based on faith leads to outgoing concern. It leads to love. It leads to action. So it's not just enough that God has given us access to Him. There must be works involved in what you and I do as a Christian. That's why we were called. And that is much to do with the fact that you and I can go and approach Him with boldness each and every time. But what sometimes you could say, "Mr. Filion, but I don't have boldness right now. Am I lacking in faith?" Maybe there are things that you can say that I have a little bit of doubt at the moment. Don't worry about it. Don't feel worried about it. Maybe you can say, "I'm too old to come before God to provoke others unto good works." Or, "I'm too young." Or maybe I have an infirmity. Or, "What if I have sinned? I know I've done something wrong. And how can I approach God with boldness each and every time?" Let's address that for a moment. We all sinned, and God made provisions for that, brethren. That's why I took you with the story to the tabernacle. And what's the first thing that you saw? Was the altar. Now, Jesus Christ is the one that went into that sacrifice once for you and me. We don't offer animals anymore. There's no need for animal sacrifices at this point. Christ's blood will take away, as we read here in Hebrews 10 verse 22, that He takes away our sins. So how, when we have doubt, how can we still approach God then with boldness? Let's go to Ecclesiastes. This is a verse that for a long time, when you're a young Christian, you think about certain things and coming towards God, and you think about here in the back of your mind, but I'm not perfect yet. I still have sin in my life? How do I address coming before God? You all felt that before, brethren, where you feel a little bit doubt or you feel guilty and say, the door is open, but how I'm feeling a little bit reluctant to approach. Let's see how to approach God, how to address this, brethren. Ecclesiastes 5, and we will just read verse 1. Now here it says, keep your foot when you go to the house of God. Now you have that picture in your mind where we are going. But it says there, keep your foot. Which one? Your left or your right? It says, keep your foot. It doesn't say which one. No, what does it mean? It doesn't mean I have to limp with one foot into God's throne room and he says you can choose the left or the right. I'm left-handed, but I throw with my right hand, and I kick with my left foot, so I will have to choose, you know, where they stand, and you push you a little bit forward, and the foot that you push out first, that's the dominant one, so you might choose, I'm going to go into God's throne room limping on my dominant foot, so I'll get at least further than I thought. No, this is not what it means. It means to be thinking about your actions. Consider your ways, as it says, as you go to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. What does fools do? Here it says, for they consider not that they do evil. You and I, brethren, the first step as we approach God, we consider who we are. We know who we are. We know our shortcomings. God, through his word, that mirror that you and I use each and every day, it shows us the shortfalls that we have. Maybe you have been shown something that you need to change. But here it says, we as Christians, we consider our ways. You don't just walk past the altar and I'm just going on my way to approach God. You stand still and consider your ways. And that leads us, brethren, as we go to Proverbs 3. You and I consider that we are not perfect. We are looking to become perfect. But look what God says when you acknowledge your mistakes, when you acknowledge your sins before him. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 11. It says, my son. Now, let this speak to you as if God is speaking directly to you, everyone. My son, despise not the chastising of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. God, from time to time, through the ministry, through his word, through things that happen to us, and you go and you read and you realize there's something where I've been corrected. God is correcting me. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Even as a father, the son in whom he delights. The one that's approved by God. When we consider our ways, brethren, and sometimes we need to be corrected, and we can go to God and read this verse, and at the end he says, you are my son, you've considered your ways, you come to him with boldness. To repent, with boldness to ask for forgiveness, because what does he say? He delights in us. He approves us. Brethren, that is the best thing that you can hear from a father, a physical father, when he approves his son. Tap him on the shoulder, good job. When the father, this is what you and I want to hear at the end of our Christian walk. So and so, you have been approved by me. You have my approval. Brethren, that approval is open each and every day that we have. Our guilt can make that we think our faith begins to waver. But that door is open. That access is there every day. And when you come and you repent and you ask for forgiveness, God says, I will receive you as a son and approve of you. And that brings boldness. That thank you. I will continue. I will do better next time. You see how that works, brethren? Even if we sin, that we can ask for forgiveness and continue to have boldness. So it doesn't matter in what circumstance we are, that we can ask that. What about, we said almost an excuse, I'm ill. I have a sickness. I have a serious disease. Let's go to James. James chapter 4, chapter 5. God gives us instruction in His Word, brethren, about coming to Him with boldness at any time. Let's read the instruction. For if anyone is ill, you might think, will God heal this? You put it on any range. Myself, brethren, as we read, thinking about walking the corridors of many, many hospitals and seeing many, many sick people, and you ask, after a couple of years, you begin to ask that question. I cannot heal people. I can do certain things for people, but I cannot heal them. Here God says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. This involves faith. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Physical sins. Doctors cannot heal. They cannot forgive physical sins. But you can go to your minister in faith and boldness, asking God just to put, maybe he's not present, he can put a little bit of oil on anointed cloth and he can send it away. But let's continue to read. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer, look at the context that we find this verse. The fervent effectual prayer means the energetic prayer. The bold prayer, brethren, of a righteous man avails much. It means it leads to a lot of action. It's not just you go into God's throne room and you walk away and nothing happens. We said we will look at how it provokes God. We already looked at it. When we have sin and God forgives us, just that forgiveness, your coming and asking in boldness for forgiveness, that led God to action, to forgive your sins, to wash your conscience clean. That provoked him to action. He did something for you as you approached him. It can also affect others. If you pray fervently, somebody can be healed. Nobody can be healed by any doctor today. But God says he has the power to heal us. But it involves prayer, fervent, effectual prayer. Bold prayer coming before God. Maybe it will take time. You pray now and the healing might take. Sometimes people are healed in an instant and other times it might take a while. But brethren, that doesn't take away the attitude that you and I have and ultimately the effect that it will have. What's the effect that it has on other people? Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. It can provoke God to action, brethren. We saw two examples, the forgiveness of sin and healing. When we pray fervently, it affects us. But it also affects others. Verse 13 of Acts 4, verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They were astonished at the fact that these ignorant men could do certain things. They could do miracles. But they could make the connection. Today you look at somebody and you say, well, they are rich, or they have this degree, or they have this ability. they must be able to do X, Y, and Z. We look to them to lead us or give us guidance. Yeah, ignorant men ultimately had an effect on a crowd, an effect on people. They marveled at them. There's a disconnect here. What was the reason? They had boldness. But the men looked at and they said, and they took knowledge of them at the end of the verse, that they have been with Christ. So they made the connection that these ignorant men had access to God. They looked at their own lives and they saw that these men cannot do it out of their own. But I can assure you, brethren, it was through the boldness that these men and all the disciples from all ages right through coming to God with boldness that ultimately had an effect on people. What is the effect that you have? Maybe you go to your boss and you have to ask for days off for the Sabbath or for holidays. Just the fact, brethren, that we come in prayer, ask God maybe a long time ago, work this situation out. Or you ask just as you entered into the office, a quick prayer that you have access to God. There can be an effect. God can change the man or the lady's heart. Or it can affect certain things that will ultimately help you to receive what you ask for. But also it affects other people that they can see this person is different. If you go to work and nobody, they are lackluster. The fact that you went to God with boldness, brethren, and you get up from the floor when you are also tired, you may also feel down about things happening around you in your day, in your family, in your life, when you look around the world. But if you are the one that's consistent, that you are the one that is able, going to work, and show that difference, that you stand out, people will maybe not directly make the connection, but you know, it's because you went to God in prayer and pray with boldness that you will stand out. You will be different. Let's look at that in verse Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. And we will read verse 1. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion." We see that more and more, brethren. Just I use an example of the workplace, but around us where people just, without any pressure, they just give up. They just flee. There's not even something like a lion chasing them. But the righteous are bold as a lion. The word there, bold or lion, the bold referring to lions is strength and power, but it can also mean loud. Now you and I we can sometimes come to God being loud, but we don't want to be loud in front of others. I am bold and screaming at somebody, no. But lions, one of the characteristics of them that makes them bold is not just the mane and the power that they have, but it's the sound that they make. They say that if I whisper and I speak at this volume, they say it's about 50 decibels of the strength or the loudness of sound. Now, if you go to 51 decibels, it's not 1 decibel more. The 1 decibel more is not just one unit out of 50 more. It's one time more than 50. If you go to 52 decibels, it's 2 times louder. If you go to 60 decibels, it's already 10 times louder than what I just spoke. They say your ears get injured. You have to wear ear protection around 80 decibels. A jet, when it takes off, it's about 120 decibels. A lion, when it roars, it's around 114 decibels. That's loud. Brethren, we don't have to be loud, physically loud, but that boldness that we have inside of us to provoke others to love and to good works, and ultimately God as well. Brethren, that is a sign. He made that animal that you and I can learn from this verse, that you and I as the righteous can be bold in any circumstance that we find ourselves. One final verse. Let's turn to 1 John. Looking at what motivates us, brethren, faith, the basis of why we use the access that we have, but outgoing concern is the motivation why you and I go to God with boldness. 1 John, the final verse, 1 John 4, verse 17. We can pick up in verse 16 just for a little bit of context. It says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he had dwelt or dwells in love, dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Brethren, ultimately, the boldness that you and I have, using that axis, not just thinking about ourselves, but the effect that it will have on other people, will ultimately lead us to perfection, to become who and what God wants us to be, and is to be like him. Going to God's throne with boldness has a much wider implication, brethren, than for the person coming before him with that attitude of boldness. Boldness is based on faith. It's motivated by love. And you can just remember, access leads to action. Brethren, let's go to God's throne with boldness.